If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Barrow Cup News on Monday, the 15th of September, 2025. I don't know if it's like where you are, but it's so windy. I tell you how windy it is. Our egg chair got blown off the decking. Yeah, it's quite serious. Anyway, let's start with some macro news. This is good news. UK and US unveil nuclear energy deal ahead of Trump visit. The new agreement, known as the Atlantic Partnership for Advanced Nuclear Energy, aims to make it quicker for companies to build new nuclear power stations in both the UK and the US. It will streamline regulatory approvals, cutting the average licensing period for nuclear projects from up to 4 years to just two. Key among the plans is a proposal from US nuclear group X-Energy and UK energy company Centrica to build up to 12 advanced modular nuclear reactors in Hartlepool with the potential to power 1.5 million homes and create up to 2,500 jobs. The broader programme could be worth £40 billion, with £12 billion focused in the northeast of England. Other plans under the UK-US agreement include multinational firms such as Last Energy and DP World working together on a micro-modular reactor at the London Gateway Port. And this is backed by £80 million in private investment. The two countries have also signed a defence and security deal with Google Cloud. Google is in talks to build a mammoth data centre on a site in northeast of England. Now, I would advise, I'm not going to advise you at all, but I would say I hold a nuclear ETF fund, a uranium ETF fund, and you can see the way governments are going on this. They're warming to nuclear as a sort of baseload power and clean energy. And it's happening around the world. So, you know, if look at the uranium price, it has come off a bit. Where's it by? UX, here we are. So in the last, just look at the history of this chart here, it peaked out pretty much uranium. This is per pound, dollars per pound. In January 2024, it peaked at $106 a pound. And then from January, that was the sort of peak. It came all the way down to $64 a pound on 24th of March. And since then, it's bounced off the low. And it's in this sort of range, 78 being the upper range and sort of 71 being the lower range. But I feel there's going to be, I've read quite a bit on uranium supply and demand. And they say there's going to be a massive deficit with every country and companies due to AI and data centers being so power hungry will need, you know, more access to nuclear power. Because it's baseload. It's okay having, you know, you're talking about sort of clean energy with solar and wind, of course, and they're very intermittent. And of course, you need battery storage and all that stuff. But with nuclear, it's good to go 24/7. You know, switch it on, it's gone. So, and it's clean energy. So you can see sentiment towards nuclear now is warming. And so I think, you know, it's worth looking out for. There's lots of options in the market for ETFs. There's in fact, the one I hold is UR. What's it called? The ticker is URND. It's a global X uranium ETF. But there's other plays. I mean, there's Geiger in the UK, Geiger Counter. There's Yellow Cake, YCA, ticker there. But yeah, I'd seriously urge you to do some research on, you know, nuclear. and uranium, because I think it's a very big expanding market. And of course, where demand comes, then supply. And, you know, mining uranium is very complex. You can't just truck a mine up. It takes decade probably to get a mine going for uranium. So you can see where demand picks up, then supply will be constrained. So you should see the dynamics for uranium price very positive over the next sort of 5-10 years. So have a look at that. But I think there's good news from Starmer, and they need some good news, let's be honest. You've got all these big pharmaceutical companies. Merck is pulling out of £1 billion investment in the UK, and now they're saying AstraZeneca has halted. I think it's a investment on a £200 million sort of in research and development sort of lab in Cambridge. So they need to get some kind of deal over the line there on the pharma companies. But nevertheless, the nuclear side of it seems to be going very well. Okay, let's look at the markets. Let's start off with the FTSE. Let's start with the AIM All Share. It's looking quite positive-ish at the moment. It's trying to get above, it needs to get above 777. At the moment, it's 770. But this is towards the top end of the range. It did get down at 756 recently, but it's now seemed to be edging up. I mean, on Wednesday, the Fed are expected to reduce interest rates, which will be quite bullish for the markets, I suppose. So we see that. Where's the FTSE 100? It's pretty much flat, 9,279, but that is near an all-time high. In Europe, Stocks 600 is up 0.6%, 558. That's near a recent high, I suppose. It seems to be hitting a resistance at 562. It's now 558. Over the weekend, I did cover that thing, didn't I? NASDAQ and S&P all hit all-time highs. What else have we got here? 250. Let's show the 250. Where is that? That's 350. 250 up 0.5%, 21,750. The fledgling is 0.25%. I don't know why I cover that, to be honest. Let's look at commodities. Brent crude, it's down 0.5%, $67 a barrel. We've got gold. It's not really going here. It's pretty much flat, but it's pretty much at an all time high, $3,681 an ounce. And copper, it's up a little bit, 0.1%. Let's go on the pound, well, the dollar's weakening, of course. Interest rates coming down, I mean, it's weakening. So other currencies are strengthening against it. So you've got a pound where you buy you $1.36. And it seems to be breaking out there. 1.35 has been the sort of resistance level. And it seems to be breaking out, the pound against the dollar. A pound will buy you €1.15. So government bonds, flat 2 year, 10 years pretty much flat, and the 30 years pretty much flat, 5.4% for the 30 year, 4.6 for the 10, and 3.9 for the 2. The Dixie, which is a dollar index, that's a dollar against a basket of currencies, it's down 0.25%, but it's grinding lower there. Bitcoin. Surprised Bitcoin is not breaking that previous resistance. Not a good sign, because normally when dollar weakens, of course, Bitcoin and gold tend to strengthen. Gold is, it has been. Bitcoin has rallied for the sort of month from 31st of August from 108,000 to 117,000, but having a problem getting over that sort of 116 level, pretty much. It's now at 114,960. Anything else? No, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Okay, time to go to the Microcap database. So I'm having problems talking. I always have problems talking after a weekend. I never drink throughout the week at all. I have a few drinks normally I try and keep it one day a week. But it does affect me. As you get older, I just think, a bit of drink just affects you, doesn't it? And so your sleep patterns and everything. Bango. Let's start with Bango. Now, the database, I only record profitable companies or companies that are forecast to be profitable in the next financial year. It's not good news for Bango. So what do? They provide the technology and partnerships that online merchants need to acquire more paying users. Thousands of merchants and developers benefit from the Bango technology and ecosystem, from startups to the world's largest online businesses, including Amazon, Google, Microsoft. So they've got this digital vending machine where I think, you know, companies like telcos can bundle together payment packages, and the software behind that is Bango. So I quite like the idea of this. And you know, I think this will only go one way, where you can bundle these packages. But at 106 a share, they are market cap 81 million, enterprise value 82. In fact, that's gone up now. But this is their half year results. Okay. Revenue 18.7 million, up 5%. Net loss of 2.36 million. These are pounds. I've converted them from dollars. So net loss of 2.36 million versus 3.1. Net debt, though, increased to 5.4 million from 1.3. And free cash outflow increases as well, 3.3 outflow versus 2.9. Now, the company states, we enter the second half of 2025 with strong momentum and remain on track to deliver financial year 25 revenue and adjusted EBITDA in line with market expectations. What they omitted here was that net profit will be lower due to high depreciation and amortization charges. And the broker, this is Singer, has downgraded net profit for 2026 by 85%. They said, we revised down our AOP, PBT, EPS due to higher D&A, while net debt is now £1 million higher due to exceptionals. So forecast for this year is 25. They've got 31st of the 12th. End of year. Revenue up 3% to 40.6 million. Net loss of 4.4 million versus 2.7. For 2026, revenue of that was supposed to be a profitable for 25 previously. And now it's 4.4 million net loss. 2026, 44.5 million of revenue. That's up 10% on 25. Net profit of 1.2 versus net loss of 4.4. And again, 2026 figure, that was, I think that was around about $4.7 million. That's come down heck of a lot. At 106 is the forecast PE of 69 for 26. Not cheap. And this is not the first time. This is why I only tend to focus on profitable companies, because even companies forecast to become profitable, they tend to hit problems. You know, business never runs smoothly. Not the first time a company forecasts to become profitable misses it, and it won't be the last. So don't bank upon forecasts if a company, especially if a company's going from, you know, a loss to a profit, because you often see bumps in the road. On a positive regarding cash, they do have about, a $15 million NatWest revolving credit facility, so they should not need to raise funds via equity. But like I said, they have been revised lower there on these numbers, and they were expected to be profitable. Okay, next, Ingenta is a provider of publishing solutions. The company is a provider of content management, advertising, and commercial enterprise solutions and services to publishers, information providers, academic libraries, and institutions. So at 70 pence a share, they're pretty much market cap of 10.1 million. Enterprise value of 6.5, and surprisingly half-year report, this is surprisingly decent results from these. And if one of these companies had sort of almost written off a little bit, then there's nothing to it. But just looking down here in the comments, so the half-year financial results for the first 6 months. Revenue 5.16 million versus 5, up 2%. Net profit of 1.2 million versus 589K. So it's 102% increase. Net cash of 3.9 million, up 30%. Free cash flow of 675K versus 332, up 103%. So on all metrics there, on four of those crucial metrics, it is positive. And they do state 25, the company results for the year remain on track. So this would be revenue of 10.5 million, up 3%. Net profit of 1.5 million, up 17%. Now at 70 pence, it's a forecast PE of 7 and enterprise earnings ratio of 4. So it seems like good value with double-digit profit growth. So maybe, you know, it's quite so small, it's market cap pretty much, but they seem to be going in the right direction and not expensive. So they've only got 1 year's forecast there, the broker, but for this year it seems to be looking okay. So it's ING is ticker there. Knights Group. Let's look at these. Fast-growing legal and professional services businesses ranked within the UK's top 50 largest law firms by revenue. Knights was one of the first law firms in the UK to move from the traditional partnership model to a corporate structure in 2012 and has since grown rapidly. So at 159 a share, they are 136 million market cap, 201 million enterprise value. So they're quite acquisitive. That's why they've got a bit of debt there. But these were, what were these? These were full year results for Knight. Let's scroll down. My comments on this are full year results 2025, revenue up 8%, 162 million. Net profit down 23% to 7.6. Of course, there's a lot of adjustments here because they've done some acquisitions. So that's reported. Underlying obviously looks better. Net debt of 64.8 million. Up from 35 million, so that's quite a steep increase there. Free cash outflow of 12.8 million versus inflow of 8.1 million. Forecast 2026 currently states trading at the start of the current year is encouraging and in line with expectations. So revenue is expected for 26 of 201.5 million, up 24%. Net profit of 11.1 million, up 47%. At what's the share price at? At 159 a share, this is a forecast PE of 12 and EV earnings of 18. 2027, revenue up by 6%, 213 million. Net profit up 68% to 18.7 million. At 159 a share, it's a forecast PE of 7 and an EV earnings of 11. Double-digit profit growth and decent value. And for 2028, revenue up 4% to 222 million, net profit up 22.5 million, up 20% there. So at 159, forecast P of 6, and the EV earnings of 9. Again, double-digit profit growth and decent value. I think it's worth a look. And finally, do one more half-year report, Windar Photonics. This is to the 30th of June, 2025, half-year results. And at 62 pence a share, they've got a market cap of 59 million, enterprise value of 54. So what do they do? It's a technology group that has developed its own wind eye and wind timizer, LiDAR, wind sensors, and its related Nexus software suite designed to efficiently and cost-effectively increase the power output and reduce lifetime operating costs of electricity-generating wind turbines. I did some research on this a while back. By the way, Jorgen Korsgaard Jensen, CEO, holds 5.8% of the stock. I'm sure their technology is only applicable on certain models of turbines, which is not such a bad thing. I mean, because these turbines last for years and years. But I'm not quite sure, but check to see whether they work or they're going to be applied to new wind turbines coming out. I'm sure I read that previously. Let's have a look down here. So the half-year results, 2025, revenue 2.3 million, up 18% from 2, net loss of 627K, which has increased from 255K previously, net cash of 4.2 million versus 989K, probably thinking where they get the cash from because they're making a loss. Well, they raised some money in this year. Free cash outflow of 482K versus 1.7 million outflow. So that's improved. The company states, despite currency headwinds and initial uncertainty caused by tariffs, the company is well placed with orders for delivery in H2 2025 of 3.6 million euros as of August 2025, further supported by the pipeline and above strengthening of our sales organization to meet full year market expectations. So the expectations for this year are revenue to be up 119% to 8.6 million and a net profit of 1.8 million versus a net loss of 779K. Now at 62 pence shares, forecast PE of 33, not cheap, but further growth is expected in 26. And this growth is quite impressive. 2026 forecast, revenue up 50% to 12.9 million, net profit up 138% to 4.3 million. At 62 pence, is a forecast PE of 14. Now, I don't think that's quite good. for double-digit top line and triple-digit profit growth, that's an okay valuation, I believe. Like I said, you have to do some further research on this because I'm sure I read about their software and all that stuff, or their hardware as well, only working on certain models of wind turbine. But like I said, wind turbines, you know, they're in the field for decades, aren't they, pretty much? So worth a look. But WindAR, it's an interesting company. Like I say, on, again, forecasts, the further they go out, less accurate they are. But on 2026 numbers, this is looking like, decent value, excellent growth, to be honest. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, sharepickers.com, if you want to become a member. And you can get, a chunk of money off, too. Just go on sharepickers.com. In fact, I'm having a couple of new pages input. So the about page will be changing, looking more professional. And the page on the book will be looking more professional very soon. And also, there's another feature probably coming for investors. I sent out a survey on the weekend, and it's got quite a bit of positive feedback on that, asking if people would use this new feature. And it seems like the vast majority of people would. So maybe there's a new feature coming to the website. Check it out, sharepickers.com. Thanks for listening. Speak you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.